UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, I have to, in interest of full disclosure, I was doing Kentuckiana Friends of V work this morning. I usually will get to hear a little of the Locke show, and it was Locke and Andy show, the two of them, but now just Locke coming in, so I have an idea. But when I don't, it's selfishly a little bit entertaining for me because you walk in, and Nick now is producing both shows, at least for the time being, so these texts make no sense to me, which makes it so entertaining. So I'm dying to see if you can put it in context for me.
Okay? I'd be happy to.
All right, in no random order, I own a bowling ball and I'm terrible. What the hell does that mean? My grandfather gave me the bowling ball when he bought a new one. Okay, I mean, I'm happy you guys were talking bowling. We don't talk, for my money, we don't talk nearly enough bowling on this station. But the fact of the matter is, I'd like to know what that context was.
Well, we saw Jason's Twitter poll.
Jason
Anderson.
What did he tweet?
Zone Twitter poll was, if you own a bowling ball, you're probably pretty good, right? Question mark. Yes or no. And it was like 70% yes, 30% no. Locke and I both voted yes. If you have a bowling ball, you're probably decent,
I would suggest,
right?
I would modify it. If you own more than one bowling ball, you're good. Like,
oh, because you have a straight ball and you got
a spare ball, you got another one, and you know, they got them for lane conditions. And these guys go walking in for their leagues, and they got like tennis players bring those nine. That's how I always wanted to be a tennis player just for that. I always wanted to just be that guy who walks in with five rackets. I love that. But you know, you can look the part.
We brought up Andre Agassi during the show.
He's a good bowler.
No, I was talking about, you know, Andrew Luck and not having the love of the game. Rob Gronkowski's comments.
Yeah, we'll get to that, by the way, in a minute.
Andre Agassi, you know, wrote that whole book basically saying how he hated tennis for a long time. But I remember watching a match with him, and it might have even been a charity match, or I'm not sure, but I don't think it was a major match. But he needed some new rackets, like his racket broke.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kid came running from the locker room and handed him two new rackets, which I just, anytime I see that, I always just smile because I know that that is probably about $3,000 worth of equipment.
No, I don't think it costs that.
I'm exaggerating, but like if I'm at a hockey game and I just see the row of sticks, that quite literally is probably about, you know,
well,
two or three grand.
I went to see Fuzzy when he was playing on the tour and he was warming up, so it was a practice tee so we could chat a little bit. And he's taking a swing and then he makes a note and then they bring it. There's a truck on site and they bring it in and the guy adjusts the club for each round as based on like how they're swinging. Like, you know, he makes a little adjustment. Like, wow. Yeah, you know, so
that's awesome.
That's why they're very good. Well, I mean, that's not why they're very good, but to these successful people go the perks.
Yeah, that's true. And also, they're so good that a little change like that probably could affect their game. Me, it just would be like, oh, wow, it went 6 feet righter as opposed to, you know, 600 feet.
Guy, first text, this is an all-star. We're going to have all-star texts. That's going to be my new thing.
Talk
highlight, damn it.
Oh, that's strong. Coming out of the gate.
I love highlight, by the way.
I'm eating leftover melatonin, by the way. Yeah, sorry.
No chance. The male kickers can kick 65 yards in practice. Way tougher in game. Of course, guys immediately about women will feel threatened. I mean, I've found that before. But having said that, I do agree with this other text. I know what this is about. This is Carly Lloyd, right? Isn't that her name?
Yeah, I play. Do you want me to play the soundbite?
No, I know. She's, you know, and they. But here's the thing. Somebody said this, and it's true. She took, like, that's 50. How far did she make it from 60? What?
I think it was 55, 56.
She took over 9 steps. There's no way she's going to be able to do that in a game. You get 2.5 steps. That's it. If you take more than that, you'll be killed. So, you know, that's like you've watched the guys on the kickoffs. They take a running start of 5-6 yards, and they kick the ball 75 yards on a fly. So, you know,
oftentimes
that's
the, now,
having
uprights.
Said that, I'm never threatened by that because, you know, this is one of the – there's advantages and disadvantages to wherever you're born and raised in any part of the country. That's absolutely the truth. There's some good things about being raised in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and some bad things, and some good things about being raised in
Kentucky. They've got good cheese. It's very cold.
And some bad things, and some good things about being raised in New York, and some bad things. One of the things I consider as a good thing is the best way I can explain it is to cite a story. The late CBS News correspondent Andy Rooney. Oh, again with you. You're driving me bat-spit crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
I have a little
Stop
bit of
Stop eating
heartburn.
Cold pizza and making look like you're giving birth in the other side of the room.
Oh, my God. All I did was burp to the side.
Oh, you're expression.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
It's like, okay, you try and this is what you're seeing on the other side of the glass.
I wouldn't care. I would just be like, are you dying?
Yeah, no. Great. Thanks.
Then you're fine.
Hey, let's get the call Chad. Get a press release out. The noon to three is open. The chubby guy just died.
I've got the talk back button. I would be like,
okay.
I was in your ear.
Thank you. All right. Here's Andy Rooney said this, and this is so true. you're doing it on purpose.
I was actually stretching there.
Yeah, okay. He said that people and New Yorkers will never get in the debate that people get into from other cities. Like, you know, you talk about subways and the New York subways, which are much better than they used to be. They got rid of all the graffiti and all that. But, like, they will debate, which is the best subway in the world? Is it the one in Paris? Is it the one in Montreal? Russia, even. Moscow has a fabulous subway system. The New Yorker will never get in that debate because the Paris subway and the Montreal subway, neither of them will take him to Forest Hills. So he doesn't give a spit. That's the bottom line. It's always about the bottom line. And that's how it is for me. If you could find a female that could make your kicking game better, she could make the kicks that the Bears missed last year that they're all bent out of shape about, fine. I don't care. Play. I really don't. I'm not rooting for it. I'm not rooting against it. I mean, you know, that's why sometimes it comes across as like, oh, you're trying to be progressive. I'm really not. You know, it's the same way I look at every situation in the world.
How dare you call me progressive?
I know, because, I mean, I think I am in some things. I think I'm
just ambivalent.
No, I'm conservative about others, but the fact of the matter is you're right. The bottom line is I just don't care. So, I mean, if a guy's black or white or Asian or Russian or Chinese or I don't know, Latvian, what's his job? His job is to put this over there. Does he do it better than anybody? Great, give him the job. I don't care. I'm not giving him the job because he's Latvian or Croatian or a Smurf, but if he can do the job better than anybody else, what do I care? I know, I just don't care. I'm not like, yay, we got a Latvian in that position. I'm just like, good for you.
Bobby V, against the Rooney Rule. Against the firm.
No, I mean, no.
I'm messing with you.
That's a different thing because there's reasons, you know, it's good experience to interview and all that. But the fact of the matter is, I really don't care. So if she could do it, that's great. But in fairness, if you're going to be objective, she took about a 5-step run up to that kick. I mean, if they asked the other team, excuse me, Carly's going to kick this. Could you not try to block this? You know, which I thought, by the way, they might do when I had that chance to kick in the arena.
You were very wrong.
I was about as wrong as you could be. They were trying desperately to kill Will Wolford and maim me. They were so pissed off that we were doing that. And I was like, I thought it would be, that's why I suggested an exhibition game where they're kind of in on the joke. These guys, it was a regular season game. They were not in on any joke. And I was like, holy spit. I was dumbfounded. Which, by the way, leads to what I was going to open with. You know, I'm not the biggest, please don't yell at me, I'm not the biggest college football guy for a lot of reasons. I like it, but I didn't grow up around big-time college football because that's the one sport they don't pay that much attention to on Long Island. They pay attention to college basketball. We had St. John's, the Big East, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, the NFL, huge. You go look at New York Newsday every day, the coverage of the Giants and the Jets is off the charts. But college football, there was nobody. The closest big team in the Northeast when I was a kid was like Penn State, which was like 6 hours away. So it was not that big a deal. Okay, so I'm just telling you that, but I love the NFL. I grew up, I mean, oh my God, I can tell you the seasons that the Jets and the Giants had when I was a kid, almost game by game. So it's, that gives me no great joy to say this. But we've talked about it in one way, shape, or form before. I think football is coming to a day of reckoning. And somebody has got to be smart enough to see it, or they're going to get themselves in trouble. And here's, before you say, what are you crazy, I understand all the reasons why you could argue against it. The NFL especially, still, not only do they, you know, do they, you know, do they own the they've got, they own the roadways. They own the bus companies. They're taking tolls from everybody else. They are the 600-pound gorilla in the sports landscape. I get it. They're on. Think about this. They're such a desirable product. Not only are they on every major network in this country, CBS, ABC, which is ESPN, NBC, and Fox, that's not enough. Now they got people bidding for other games, these over-the-internet channels. You know, who's got the games? Is it YouTube, or who had the other? Who had the Thursday game? Amazon, YouTube? I don't know. Somebody. Who had it? One of them.
Facebook, I think, was trying
Whatever.
To get one of them.
I mean, they're bidding each hard against it. It's like there's not enough of it out there. So I get it. I'm not here to say, oh, gloom and doom, and I wouldn't want it to be gloom and doom. But I'm telling you, there's a couple of factors at work here that somebody's going to have to get their arms around, or I believe they're going to find themselves somewhere down the road in a bit of trouble. There was some discussion about this last year. You know, the seats, there used to be like a 20-year waiting list for season tickets for the Giants. The crowds were not at capacity. The college football crowds were down appreciably. There's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of reasons. Again, you can get into a whole discussion about that. Why do I want to go spend 8 hours there when I could stay home? I don't have to spend $12 for a beer. The TV experience now is almost better than being at the stadium with these ultra-high-def televisions. So there's a lot of reasons for that. I get it. But football itself, here's what you're staring at as a landscape. You've got Andrew Luck, one of the biggest stars in the league, on a team that was a outside legitimate Super Bowl chance walking away from the game. You've got Gronkowski coming out and saying basically almost the same thing that Luck said. He said, I want to be clear to my fans, I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down. I didn't like it. I was losing that joy in my life. Luck said he lost the joy of playing the game. These guys are in pain. They're absolutely, and I understand, you know, there's a difference between being a little uncomfortable. Like, we went out, I'm getting back into softball. I'm getting back into softball. So we went and played for about 3 hours on Sunday. Monday, I was sore.
But no, it was still sore.
Happy kind of sore, good sore. You know, that's the one you used to play when I was in school. You know, after a good long workout the next day, you had a little stiffness, and that's fine. We're not talking about these guys. You know, Doug Gottlieb had maybe the stupidest tweet I've ever seen in my entire life. That was, but that's what makes, and that's another topic, by the way. That's what gets me sick about sports radio. Because that gets acknowledgement from like Troy Aikman and all these other people. And so, you know what, if you have a reasonably rational thought process and say, how can I get my attention in this business? Well, I know how. I'll say the most preposterous things I can think of. And I'll say them really loud. And then I'll get an acknowledgement from people. I said what I think most mainstream people do, said, it's his life. If he's in pain and he doesn't want to play anymore, he's got enough money to last him for a bunch of lifetimes, and he does not want to go through the pain and suffering that he's gone through, it's his life. It's not my business. That's how most people would feel. But the fact of the matter is, if you get out there and call a guy out, I mean, it was so inappropriate. He's great. He got exactly what he wanted. He's got everybody from the presidents on Mount Rushmore screaming at him. That's fantastic. I don't get acknowledgement like that. But you just absolutely. Oh, this is great. I didn't realize that listeners have this. I'm sorry. I know I get distracted. They play V Show Bingo. Did you know that?
Oh, they should have. No, I've said that every show. Needs to have V Show Bingo.
B, Big Head comment. I, Nick irritates Bob. N, Nick Eating. G, Game Analysis. O, Offer Alternative Thoughts. Awesome show, guys. Thank you. Bob, you got bingo. Good
there
for you.
Because
the Mets play
that's
Howie Rose bingo.
Oh,
Howie Rose bingo. It's hilarious. Yes, and they do it in a good-natured way, so I love it. So thank you. Good. Congratulations on your bingo. But unfortunately, today we're playing Coverall. So you're going to have to.
What would some of the other ones be?
Let
swear.
The cake bake.
We swear, yeah.
Swearing.
Let the cake bake. We sing Meet the Mets.
Coming on late. Yeah.
Which is more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. We didn't really do that today, though. We came on like 12:04,
no.
So you don't get a letter.
Well, Locke wrapped up about 12:01.
That's because he didn't have any of his notes. He left them all home.
Yeah, I know. He was winging the whole show.
That was awesome.
Did you see? I'm going inside baseball. But this was something that Drew and Locke didn't know this, and I, you know, not surprised because they probably had better use of their time. You probably have better use of your time, but like me, you also have a childlike sense of wonder.
Okay.
Did you know that with Google Chrome, if there's no internet, there will come up a screen that says, you know, not connected to the internet.
Right. Yeah, and it's like a little kangaroo or something. What is that?
Yeah, it's a little T-Rex.
Oh, okay,
T-Rex. It's called like Chrome T-Rex or Chrome Dinosaur or whatever.
Okay.
But it's a game. If you hit the space bar or if you hit like, you know, your little directional pad, your little arrow, he'll start running. And he has to jump over
cactuses.
Why did
you waste this today? This should have been a We Wanted a Wednesday. Now I want to play it.
He's got to jump over cactuses and duck under pterodactyls. No, he didn't, because he was frantically trying to get ready for the show and look up something.
Distorted but sense of priority that is.
There is a group, and I don't know if it's a program or what, but this is where Google freaks me out sometimes.
Okay.
Because I hadn't previously looked this up or anything. But I'm on the computer over here in the control room, and I'm Googling like a funny soundbite or something in YouTube, and up comes recommended videos for you. There is a live feed
of
Google Chrome Dinosaur that has been played. They've played it for over a year.
And he hasn't gotten killed yet?
He hasn't gotten killed yet. He is.
What, do they pass it off to another guy?
I don't know.
Jumps in?
I have no idea. But he's been playing it for, I think, 365 days.
You might have won the We Want to Know Wednesday, and you just blew it all on a Tuesday.
No, that's all right. Locke had a killer one,
yeah,
too. For
he's saving it, though, for tomorrow. What did you already say it?
Yeah, he said it on the air.
But, Rubber Ducky?
Yeah. Didn't know that. September
1970.
September 26, 1970.
Sesame Street song sung by, who sings it? Ernie?
Ernie, yeah.
Ernie sings it. My Rubber Ducky was in the top 15 or 10.
I think it was 16th.
16.
So, yeah. Strong work. Rubber ducky, you're the one. But that question of the game, Chrome Dinosaur, being played for over a year, made me think, well, obviously, if they are legitimately doing it, it's not like a program or something like that, then, yeah, you're going to have a team of, what, six or so to rotate in and out. Everyone plays for a couple hours, and then
you need way more than that, I would think. Unless these people don't have a life. That's every day for a year. They're top. Hey, we got tickets to the Super Bowl. Can't go. Why? I got to play with a dinosaur from 3 to 5. That's my shift. I bet you they got 25 people, 30 people.
It might not. It might just be them playing a year, because I looked at the score and it was not out like completely outrageous. But then I don't know. But no, but it's definitely a feat of it playing instead of
like
a world record.
I'd like to organize a year long Stratomatic game. Get about 20 guys.
You should make it cricket.
That would be awesome. At the end of a year, they've played 45,000 innings. The score is, you know, like 62,000 to 58,000. No, you know what would be great? This would be great. This would be absolutely great. If you played a year long Stratomatic game, okay? And you could pick a team to play with.
Right.
You played for a year, and you played with the Mets. At the end of the year, they would lose with the tying run on second base. They would lose 65,000 to 64,999 and make the third out with a guy on second base.
Forgot how they'd have to rally.
Be perfect. Yeah, they'd
have a 4,000-run rally. Yeah.
400 runs in the last inning, and they got it to within one, just couldn't drag that run across.
That would be awesome. But that reminded me during the Midday Rush with Locke, I brought this up, the Friends episode. Where they're trying to keep the ball.
Play catch
before dropping it, and how there's certain people that are they won't throw
not
to.
Good catchers, like Chandler.
Yeah, they're droppers.
Right.
Yeah, you're a dropper, so they won't throw it to Chandler because they're afraid he's going to drop it. Which got me thinking, if we did the same thing here, who are the catchers and who are the droppers? And Locke took a very, he's like, I think everyone can catch something here. And I was like, that's fair, but, you know, we'll do quick associations. Because you could be a catcher, a dropper, or a tweener. And I kept pressing him, and he kept saying that, you know, everyone could catch. And, yeah, that's true. I think so. He said, just make sure I wasn't asking about pitchers and catchers. And that was completely another thing altogether. But he did look at me and say that he thought that I would be, a potential dropper. And then a texter came
in. Sad to say.
Yeah, thanks. A texter came in.
Because I think Locke would be a dropper. He's a tennis player and a runner. There's no catch skill there.
I did play baseball, although I was a catcher who couldn't catch. That was kind of my problem.
So you might be a tweener.
I'm a good thrower. How's that?
All right.
If you give the ball to me, I'll set you up nice for a nice I'm a tosser, which is an insult in Britain. I'm
sorry to say that because he's, you know, we had a nice visit. But if I had to pick any on-air host to be the dropper, I would be my most logical one.
Locke?
Well, because he doesn't. I mean, I don't know if Drew does either.
Okay,
don't play catch ball sports. He runs, and he plays tennis.
But they've got decent hand-eye coordination.
It's a different thing. Tennis. It's a different skill to catch.
I know. I'm just saying.
I mean, I don't know. I've never seen Ennis do anything, but he strikes me as a guy who could catch things.
All right, so I'm going to give you...
Certainly Marcus played basketball. I was a soccer goalie. The one thing you got to do is catch. Who else do we have here? Andy looks like a catcher. As, you know, just he can envision that you throw him a half-drunk bottle of bourbon, and he will absolutely go all out. He'll grab that one.
No look, just OBJ.
Absolutely. By the way, the number one overall seed on the women's event, just like yesterday when we followed that number two seed who lost the first set and then came back to win, Ashley Barty, Osaka of Japan, is down 3-love in the first set. How about that, Mikey? How about that, Mikey?
Wow.
All right. We went 5 references away from where we started.
But Texas and tosser, dropper, catcher,
okay.
Tweener. Right. 4379680 UPS jobs text line.
I like this. Sounds like it's time for You Want to Know Wednesday, but found out on Tuesday, so enter me on Wednesday or on Tuesday, please. That's a lot of initials. That would be YWKWBFOTSEMFWOTP. That's way too...
Patty, can you come in here and read that so we can get a drop? Just say yes.
Here's my discussion. You click activate bot, and it plays it for you. That's why the game can just go on.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there you go. But here's what I started to say. First of all, I got it. You know, that's great. I'm trying to keep it civil because I'm not trying to, you know, be nasty. That's one thing we tried not to do. I've been pushed into that sometimes by people taking the initiative with being, I think, nasty to me, but that's okay. And this guy on Twitter, I won't mention his name because it's not important, but he said he was arguing that I paid to see Luck 9 times, just a little common courtesy. And I common courtesy. He played for you through punctured kidneys, torn muscles, broken bones. I think he's shown plenty of courtesy. And he wrote back, a man named Luck should lay it on the line as much as Brady. It's a game. Your team and fans need you / paid for you. Do your job. Rehab the day you quit, much further away from this week. And I wrote, couldn't agree less. We can leave it there. Oh, here we go. I said, Bob, I love you. I was just pulling your chain. Oh, great. Okay. There you go. I'm sorry how you were upset and you were and played butthole. Oh, I get it. Okay. So in other words, which is what drives me nuts. That is a whole cottage industry out there. So go to tweets, find somebody who has a legitimate passion about something, and then just take the opposite side because you know it's a good chance you might piss them off.
Cottage hobby. Industry?
Yeah, cottage industry is a, you know, you
whenever I hear cottage, I think of cheese.
No, it's a cottage industry, meaning it's a small business. There's enough, people who are passionate about it, but it's not enough.
A niche.
Yeah, it's like a niche.
Yes, oh, okay.
So what I started to say 10 hours ago was these comments from Rob Gronkowski sound eerily similar to, and as our first visitor of the day. You're drawing to see what order. It's all right, well, let's do this on the air. Let's go to the newsroom and Nicholas Michaels see what order we get in the fantasy draft for the Empire Electrons.
So here's the deal.
Okay.
Everybody else is drawn but you two.
So why did we get to draw last? I was in the last place last year, but this thing is all void. We should have drawn first. Get everybody back, put those slips of paper back in, and start it over again.
I got three.
It's too damn
bad. You guys are drawn between 9 and 10.
I'm calling Price Waterhouse. This is void. This is should have been our choice when we drew. You know, we don't get the table scraps. What kind of crap is that? I'm marching in there right now. This whole thing is bogus.
You want me to throw it a break?
What numbers are left?
What numbers are left? 9 and 10.
The 9th pick and the 10th pick.
Those aren't bad picks. You could have got
12 and
this
11.
This was legitimate. You're trying to convince me it's legitimate that we weren't in the room and we get the last two picks in the first round. I was in last place. It's unbelievable. Why don't I just give you the money and you put whoever the hell you want on my team? Since basically that's how you view this. Despite the fact that the Electron country, Electron Nation, is absolutely Electron Nation is absolutely fired up to get their this year's merchandise. We dwarfed every other team in the league in merchandise, and yet we get no respect from the commissioner. None. It's a bunch of garbage. It's absolutely unadulterated.
This year, I think. That's...
No, I'm not. I'm going to come up with another theme of some
sort.
Yeah,
but it might be.
We settled our stadium issue, though.
Slightly more.
I went to look for other names that like were symbolic of New York, like Apple, Big Apple, or something. And there's no other minor league teams or anything that have logos that I could kind of piggyback on to get our merchandise.
Creatively borrowed.
So we negotiated with the city, and we're back at Empire Electron Stadium. We're excited about that. Where this year we've got luxury boxes. The merchandise will be. What are you shaking it up for? It's 9 and 10. Who gives a crap? Give them a damn number and walk away. You screwed us already. What difference does it make? It's how unabashedly they screw us. It's unbelievable. Radio people are the absolute. You know, if you get people who have egos and are insecure, you throw them in a room and let the fun begin. That's what it comes down to. So, like, this is really important to some folks to show that somehow they know more about football. And they know I really couldn't
care. You're so
care.
Bad.
So,
all right.
Good.
Here.
Are you picking for me or for you?
You decide.
You pick for you, and then I'll get the last one, because that's the way it is. You got my money, just put us last. That's how many times did you guys have to draw to get us to take 9 and 10? Was it one of those things? Oh, technicality. I picked up two pieces of paper by mistake. Put them back. Oh, that one. I picked out left-handed. You can't draw left-handed. Put it back in. Oh, good. Okay. Now we got Nick and Bob screwed with 9 and 10. It's a valid draft. Go ahead. March in there. Perfect. Absolutely.
They could give us the last two, because that'd be
too
obvious.
Why did you bother putting us in the draft? Why didn't you just get the paper and start, okay, let's put 9 and 10, Nick and Bob. Let them work it out, those two jackasses. And then the rest of us will draw numbers for the rest of the draft.
11 and 12 are the last ones. But I'm saying they couldn't put us there because it'd be too obvious.
Well, 11 and 12 is actually not a bad draft spot, because then you get two right away on the snake. So they tried to get us the worst. I would bet, you know what? Let's go look this up, what the worst numbers in a fantasy draft are. I'm going to go take a look and see. I'm going to see worst places to draft. I'm going to bet dollars that it's 9. Worst places, worst positions to draft in fantasy football, since there are millions of people out there making their living at this. So, you know, and I respect it. I really do. I mean, the guys at ESPN, the ladies at ESPN.
I took 10, by the way.
Worst positions, good, from 9, which I believe could be the worst. Here we go. This should be entertaining. The worst places, what are the best and worst draft day positions? I have not read this article. I did not know it's going to happen. I'm going to wager somehow we're screwed. That's all I'm going to bet. I don't know how, but I'm going to bet we are. Here we go. All right. Wouldn't you always say? In real draft, this is... In fantasy, the best place to pick...
What if it's 9 and 10?
Is 3.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. Here's what it says about picks 9 and 10. 9 and 10. They lump them together in the spit show at the bottom of the article. Here's what it says. Oh, you missed out on some real talent. That's exactly what the first line is for 9 and 10. You missed out on some real talent. Yeah, let's give it to those guys. That'll be good. Very nice. That's fantastic. Unbelievable. That's just great. The other spots, oh, my gosh. You know, here we go. Number 3, great spot to pick. Fantastic. You'll have an abundance, it says here. This is a great place to pick. We're not getting too cute here. 1 and 2, great places to draft. Of course, we didn't have that. Just below number 1, 2, and 3, 6 is a great spot to pick.
Wow. How is 6
I don't
better
know.
Than 5?
I don't do this for a living. This is what the statistics show. But 9 and 10 are down. They break them by tiers, and 9 and 10 are below the wine cellar. They're down there where, you know, that's perfect. Very nice.
In the words of Patton Oswalt, the decomposing characters of Gangs of New York.
Unbelievable.
Just in the below the Earth's crust, I suppose.
I don't know, but all I know is the guy says to the guy, you know, because taking away my excuses, I got number 4 in both leagues and couldn't get anyone to trade me for the 9 or 10 pick in either league. Why did you want to trade it? You wanted to have a crappy team? I mean, was that the objective? I mean, because make no mistake about it, the Electrons last year were like the 62 Mets. They were trying, even though they didn't have any talent. Because if you missed it, last year we drafted only New York players. And it was arguably the worst year of New York football probably in my adult lifetime. The Jets sucked, the Giants sucked, the Bills have none of the teams had any quarterbacks who could throw the ball further than 8 yards. So that was a problem. So we tried to go to the metropolitan area, and we stretched it out into some other franchises. So I may do that this year. We may be the Empire Electrons presented by the Northeast, by Amtrak. That's what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do. It's perfect. They just figured it out. We're the Empire Empire Electrons presented by Amtrak's Northeast Corridor, because that's where everybody rides the train, which now lets me take Patriots players, Bills players, Ravens? Eagles players, Redskins players, Ravens players. Now I got a chance. That's it. I got to change the logo. Wait, Johnson, where's my phone? Johnson, here, let's get on the phone. Here, put this on. Hello, Johnson? Yes. Update our logo. We need Amtrak, Empire Electrons presented by Amtrak's Northeast Corridor. Get on it. Get the people in accounting on it right away. Thank you. Uh-oh. That's my phone call disguised as a dial tone. That Johnson hung up real quick before you could hear him on the other end.
Yeah. That's how diligent he is.
You lose the right to complain when you draft Eli Manning early. Everybody, could you just pay attention a little tiny bit? I only took New York players last year. I was faced with the possibility that some jackwad would take Manning, and then I would have a really bad team because the center would have to snap it, and there'd be nobody under center. I'd have no quarterbacks at all. So I took what appeared to be on paper the best of the
and
bunch.
Saquon Barkley was gone at that point.
Not really. Yes, that was. I was hoping nobody was going to take him because I would have had a chance. I had no choice. I had to have a quarterback. You didn't know who the Jets were even going to play. The Giants were going to play him. I don't even know who the Bills quarterback is. They go through a new quarterback every 10 minutes. So
it's Josh Allen.
I had no choice. I had to take him. And I guess you could say, well, he would have been there later. Suppose
I think
he
it was
wasn't.
Tyrod Taylor.
Suppose he wasn't. What was I going to do? Run the old single wing? You know, what the hell was I going to do? So it's not like I thought he was that good. When I did that, everybody's eyebrows went up because then I was like, all right, just stay tuned. You'll figure out what I'm doing soon enough. But now this year, the secret is out. It is the Empire Electrons presented by Amtrak's Northeast Corridor. Jump on board the Electron train. That's it. Come on board. Last year's slogan was get charged up. Now this year it's jump on the Electron train. All aboard, jump on the Electron train. You're going to want to get your pre-order merchandise in. The t-shirt should be in within about 2 weeks. Trust me, you will want these. Fantastic. And very nice that the Edmonton Eskimos, whose logo somehow looks a little like ours, haven't sued us yet. We hope that stays in place.
Yeah, that's very, very kind of them.
So there you go. Unbelievable. So I got 10, right?
No, I have 10.
Oh, I got 9.
Yeah, look at you.
Which I think is even worse.
Well,
beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, I'm telling you, this year's team is going to be a force to be reckoned with since now we are in the Northeast Corridor. So presented by Amtrak's Northeast Corridor. The problem is they have put a little pressure on us. They said if you're not more competitive than you were last year, we're bagging this sponsorship. And then
you're going to have Megabus. Well, you'll have Megabus. You can get into slightly less
cities. You can only take guys who've been on waivers.
Yeah, guys who've been – exactly.
Oh, my. I'm going to take a breath and take a break and come back.
Tim Sullivan, other side.
Sullivan. I'll ask him what I was going to mention with you. I think football's coming for a day of reckoning because you get Andrew Luck leaving. Rob Gronkowski's comments were the same thing. And here is the problem. I said there's three things that are at work here, and I'll do it very quickly. Is you've got a situation where, you know, owners are to make money. That's the bottom line. It's nothing wrong with that. But the fact is, that's what they're doing. And everybody agrees that the preseason sucks. So everybody does. Owners do. Players do. Coaches do. Everybody wants it done away with. The problem is, as most of you know, if you're a season ticket holder for the Titans or the Colts or the Bengals, they make you buy 10 games, the 8 home games and then the 2 preseason games. And it's a huge revenue source. I don't think the players don't even get paid for that. The players get 16 paychecks when the season starts. That's it. So this preseason is very little expense to the owners. It's a cash cow. They get to get an extra day at the gate. And so while everyone agrees the product sucks, they can't reach an alternative without figuring out a way to make up that revenue. So the owner's suggestion was, well, let's play more games. And now every time you turn around, there's a guy claiming he's physically being broken down by playing this game. Now you're going to ask him to play 2 more games? I mean, I just find that's going to be a hard sell. The one thing it seems like the closest way they could do it is expand the playoffs. Because, yes, you're going to say, well, some teams are still going to wind up playing 17, 18 games, but you know, players, if they're playing with a possibility, if they're asking to give up some more of their body for a chance to go to the Super Bowl, I think they would do that. To get a team like, I don't know, the Jets last year to play an extra game where there's no chance they're going anywhere, that's a tough sell to players who are already. I said, why I say a day of reckoning is because I think they're going to have to figure out a way they're going to get their arms around this. I think, you know, here's the argument against it. I've said this before, that they could say, look, you know, there's a million people lined up to play. If you don't want to play, we'll go get the next guy, and the fans are still going to come out. Maybe, but do you remember when they had the scabs? And that's what the owner's approach was. Screw it. The people are rooting for the jerseys. Now they're rooting for you. And they brought the scabs in. And whether it was because people wanted to respect the strikers, and made, you know, union people themselves, or they just were smart enough to know these guys are not really NFL caliber players, the product really suffered and people didn't show up. And eventually the owners had a cave, and because they understood that they couldn't just substitute anybody in there and go forward. And so I don't know if that would be the case. But right now, and here, the second part of it is, in the old, you'd say, well, what's the difference? Well, there's a couple of things in my mind that are different. In the old days, we were talking earlier, I was talking to Drew about this, and Golic was talking about it this morning on his show. He played right before free agency came, and not even big free agency at all. For a game that asks their players to give so much of themselves, they have the least powerful players union. They were asking these guys, basically, to give up, sacrifice their own health, and the players had very little leverage. So they played for what they could play, and they had to try and play as long as they could because they had to squeeze every nickel out of the game that was available. The really highly skilled players no longer have to do that. The contracts are literally tenfold, 15-fold, 20-fold what they were those years ago. So the players don't have to. A guy like Andrew Luck can walk away. A guy like Rob Gronkowski can walk away. And the other thing, I think it's something that you have to talk about. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe bone structure has changed, but the components of the human body are kind of the same. But the players are bigger, stronger, faster, more powerful now than they've ever been. And I don't know, maybe it's a point where it's just to ask these guys to take that kind of punishment 16, 17, 18 times a year is unrealistic. So they're going to have to find a way to get their revenue. They're going to have to at least look like they care about the players a little bit. I mean, the NFL's been Teflon for a long time, but it can't be forever. You know, there are people that are, as much as they say, I don't care, they're going to play, I'm going to watch. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of folks that are like that, and I want to see the NFL, but I really don't want to watch it feeling like, boy, I hope I enjoy this game, because 10 years from now, everybody on the field is not going to remember they were even here. I don't think that's a lot of fun. So I don't, and colleges, as I said, is another story altogether. They're not even paying these guys, and you know, they're still getting whacked in the head. And I just really think they've got to look like they are paying attention to this. Like, the thing that comes to mind for me is get rid of that onside kickoff. I can't even watch that thing. I mean, it's like a guy, they should either that, or they should put low-level felons on the receiving team. That should be your punishment. You've been accused of, you know, grand larceny and robbing banks. You'll be the onside kickoff fielder for the Baltimore Ravens. Go ahead, put him out there, put Muggsy out there, and then kick it to him and have everybody on the team come and try and decapitate the guy. I mean, it's there's certain things that would look like they're paying attention, and we always, anytime there's a big change, we lose our mind when they put the shot clock in college basketball, the three-point line. It's still the game, and the people will still love it, and I think it makes a difference. I know I felt better when, after Dale Earnhardt passed, the NASCAR kind of got with the program. I'm not a gearhead, but I do follow it, and it was obvious they could do more things for safety. You know, they were following suit, and Formula One has always been on the cutting edge of everything. They're like little rocket ships, those cars, how much they cost. And even the IndyCar. I mean, it was amazing. Those cars, open-wheel cars, and it was amazing how safe they made them. I mean, it was remarkable. They still had, you know, it's still a dangerous sport. They had devastating injuries in the IndyCar series, but it looks like they're paying attention. That's a hard sell right now when your stars are walking away because the game literally is destroying them. And then you're going to tell them, well, we hear you, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask you guys to play two more games. I'm talking about thinking outside the box. Maybe you, and I would make it strategy. You could sell this to the players, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you can only play 12 games or 14 games. Then really depth becomes a factor. Now you're going to have to pay attention to those later round draft picks. That would be, I mean, the coaches would lose their minds, but maybe that's the answer. You can only play 14 games. And then you got to shuffle your roster so you can manage how you're doing in those 14 games. I'd be entertained by that. That'd be interesting to see. That'd be an interesting storyline. Who are they going to play this week? Oh, they, you know, do you play your best players if you're playing one of the worst teams in the league and figure that's going to be a win, or do you play some of your backups and gamble that maybe they can beat them and go? I don't know. That whole thing would be fascinating to me. And if we always say it's the ultimate team game, let's use the, that would make you have to expand a roster. Players should like that. The union should like that. It means more jobs. The players who are the big paid guys now should like it because they are certainly going to be in a situation where the wear and tear is not going to be as great. And then the owners could have their way, play 18 games. Play 18 games, limit, and players can only play in 14 of them. I kind of like that. Or a certain number of snaps. I don't know. There's a way you could do it. This is off the top of my head. Somebody who is very, very resourceful could look at this. Like I said, you can get rid of the onside kick. There's a million good proposals for that. Make it look like you're paying attention. That's all. We'll take a break. Tim Sullivan's back here on the V-Show. Tim Sullivan's coming up next here on the V-Show on ESPN 680-1057.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Back here on the V-Show on ESPN 680, 105.7. And I'm going to make sure I move this over so I can reach it. All right, there we go. We're welcoming in from the Courier-Journal columnist Tim Sullivan, and here he be. Tim, thanks for joining us. We visited about this, a while ago, but I'm going to revisit it just because Andrew Luck retired. Gronkowski came out. His comments after his retirement now kind of illuminating why he left, almost echoing verbatim what Luck said, that physically he was getting destroyed. It took away his joy of the game. I think that football, I'm not hoping anything bad happens, but I've said this before, football's coming up on a day of reckoning. I believe that, and both at the pro level and the college level, the same way college sports in general is coming up on a day of reckoning. I don't know what form that's going to take, but I don't think they can just go about it business as usual, especially when they're asking the players now to play more games, when the players are already saying we're getting broken down by the number we have. Where do you think it's going?
Well, I think there's going to be change. But there will always be a generation of athletes who see the fame and the money and the competitive appeal of football and will want to be a part of it. There may be more turnover than there's been in the past. And it is a sport that is famous for how brief careers can be. But I think from a cultural standpoint, the athletes who are playing pro football today have much more money at a younger age than did their predecessors. They can make decisions that would have been unthinkable to guys who were trying to make ends meet, when the game was not nearly as lucrative. I was in San Diego when Chris Dielman, who was one of the harder-edged guys I've dealt with and played at IU, he called it quits basically out of concern for his long-term health, and he could afford to do that. In some ways, that's a good dynamic that you can make your money and you can get out with your brain cells mostly intact. But the dangers of this sport are not going away. And the collisions just become more convulsive as the athletes are bigger and faster. And that's just pure physics. And you can, you can pass new rules. You can try to upgrade equipment. But you're still hitting a guy at top speed, and that's a recipe for problems. I remember asking a linebacker about what it was like to do what he did, and he said it's like standing on the freeway and getting hit by an onrushing vehicle, time after time after time. And that was hyperbole, but it's not that far off.
Will Wolford told me that a doctor told him that playing in the – he was an offensive lineman, as you know, an all-pro offensive lineman. He said that every Sunday when he played, he suffered the equivalent of 10 car wrecks. That was the wear and tear on his body and on your brain. He said it's the equivalent of not getting hit by a car, but being in a car and having 10 car accidents. The impact is equal to that. I don't know. I just – the players are so much – you know what it comes down to, though, Tim? Here's why it's worthy of a discussion, because I agree with you. It's always been like this. They've always been players willing to put their health on the line for, you know, for this sport and to get paid and everything. But, A – there's enough money now where guys can walk away. They don't need to keep playing. And you see that with Luck. You see that with Gronkowski. And I contend the players are, you know, well, it's always been a game for the big and strong and fast. They're bigger and stronger and faster now than they've ever been. I don't think we've upgraded our bone structure or anything. So it's got to be even more damaging, the type of collisions that they're creating. And I just think there's got to be some things that make it so they're not tone deaf. Like, they should get rid of onside kicks, which is a play that looks like you're just asking for that guy to be killed. And I don't know. Maybe I've even thought about having the courage to say, okay, we'll play 18 games, but players are restricted to only playing in 14 of them. Now, I would think you could get that by the union, because it would mean more jobs, and you could get it by the owners, because it would give them two more paydays. I'm sure the money they'd make on the paydays would offset the additional salary for an expanded roster. It would be interesting for fans. Who are they going to play this week? All those things I think would be very interesting, but I think it's going to take something like that to really substantial. And not only the pros, Tim, what about colleges? I mean, we've got an extra round of playoffs now, and at the small college level, if you go all the way through the playoffs, those kids play 17, 18 games. And suppose a real definitive information comes out that says even at the college level, these guys are putting their long-term health at risk. What do you do about that?
Well, I think that's the existential challenge for football, is because not everybody is going to make a lifetime wealth out of the game. You know, you might get a scholarship. You might get a partial scholarship, I guess, at some levels. But, you know, the risk-reward ratio is you know, kind of tilted at the levels where the athletes aren't making salaries, and there are, you know, serious academics who wonder if football is compatible with the educational experience, because, you know, it essentially is an assault on the brain. I don't know that the voices that would abolish the sport or at least remove it from the college environment are significant enough to be heard. But, you know, I do think that chorus is growing. And, you know, I know a lot of parents who would not let their sons play football. And I'm one of them. And so I think that there's going to be ongoing challenges to keep the sport viable. You know, I remember reading a piece about how the end of football will be when the insurance companies pull out and the helmet manufacturers, you know, cannot deal with the liability. That may be years down the road. It may be never. But, you know, I do think that unlike most of our mainstream sports, football has, as you put it, there's a reckoning ahead, and we may already be seeing part of it.
Well, I mean, it's going to take some creative minds, and I hope they do something. I don't want to see it go away, but I also think it'd be dangerous to be so arrogant, because I contend, you know, remember when they had this strike and the owners kind of were out of their arrogance, were like, well, the people will just root for the jerseys. And they had these scabs come in, and nobody showed up. The level of play was terrible. They were universally ridiculed, and the owners kind of went back with their tails between their legs and reached a settlement. I mean, that's what I wonder about. If it's Gronkowski and Luck this year, suppose it's four guys next year, or eight guys the year following, or 20 guys. Because other people start looking and saying, I don't need this. I got enough money, and I still might know my name right now. You know, then you try and do something about it, and you look, A, reactionary, and B, it may be a panic mode. You want to be proactive in this. And I don't know what the answer is, but I think they should examine it, don't you?
Well, sure. And, you know, I think there's a lot of parallels to what horse racing is going through right now in terms of the way that it is perceived. It's much different today than it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and part of that is society's evolution and maybe sensibilities are different now than they were a generation ago. But the more we learn about these sports, the more difficult I think it is to justify them in a lot of levels. And there's a need, if these sports are to survive and to continue to flourish, to address the concerns not only of the public but of the participants. And football is still easily the most popular sport in America. The television ratings show it. The money that flows to the NFL is ungodly, and yet I don't think it can ignore the inherent threat that its violence poses. And the damage is better understood now than it was when I was covering football in the 70s. And I think as the money increases, you're going to find more and more players who say, you know, I've made my money, I have my health, I'm going to get out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Tim Sullivan from the Courier Journal is with us. Guy texted me. I don't know what he's talking about, so I'll ask you this. Could you ask Sully why he asked if fans would get red paint on their seats from Cardinal Stadium during Vince's sponsor? Did you ask that?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to find out how long it would take for the paint to dry, and as they were doing the renovations on the seats, and they're going to do it during the season. So, I just was curious whether people were going to get stuck with red paint. But he assured me that that it's very quick drying and that should not leave a residue.
I was intrigued that Vince made no bones about it when we were talking to him at the College World Series and this plan was starting to take shape. He said he heard that from more fans than almost any other thing, that they were upset about the pink color of the seats. I really never heard that, but were you surprised at that? I don't know. Once I'm sitting in it, it's underneath my posterior. I don't really pay attention to it, but I guess there were a lot of people really pissed off about it.
I did hear about that now and then. It's one of those things that that I think kind of feeds on itself. A few people might complain, and then it becomes cause. When I was in San Diego, I remember fans getting worked up about the Chargers not wearing their powder blue uniforms more often, which in many ways were the most appealing uniform they had. They went with more of a navy blue, which I don't think excited anybody, but that became kind of a cause celeb, and I never thought it was important, but it did resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah. What do you make of you quoted, I think it was great, Scott Satterfield. First of all, it's a great point because I didn't really watch it the way he did until I heard him mention it, the game-saving tackle for Hawaii, and you described it so well. It was a lineman, not nearly as fast as Khalil Tate, but he just doesn't quit. He keeps chasing a play, and he winds up literally saving the game for his team. That's like a game-winning touchdown for a defensive lineman, and he's talking about the kind of effort. It seems to be that he is very consistent in passing that as a theme, that this year is about creating an environment of effort and concentration and focus. And, the wins will come when they come, but really this is about building a whole new culture here for Scott Satterfield. And this little episode fits in with that.
Well, that was a perfect illustration, I think, of what they're trying to promote. And, here is a guy who, a plodding defensive tackle who keeps chasing this, fleet quarterback down the field. But, as he has to weave through traffic and change his course, he ends up right in the path of this guy who didn't give up. And it did. It saved the game for Hawaii. And, I think if you're trying to get this message across that, this is why we pursued to the whistle, because stuff happens. And you never know when the opportunity will come your way. You watch that play, and you think there's a reason that coaches harp on this so much, because particularly in a broken field environment, you never know where the play might flow, and with a running back inclined to take a serpentine route to the goal line, he could end up directly in your line of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that was I would be interested to see what the reaction was of the players when Satterfield showed him that tape if they hadn't already seen it.
Let me ask this before I let you go, because the discussion of Andrew Luck, I think most people are somewhere in the same church as you and I, our views that we tweeted out. It's his life. I mean, it's his health, and he's miserable and in pain and suffering and doesn't want to do it anymore, and he's got enough money to last him five lifetimes. It's his business, not mine, not yours, not anybody else's. But the fans say, well, it is my business because I bought season tickets, and they deliberately deceived us. I don't know. My impression is he went to camp anticipating he was going to play, and then I think once camp started, it was the same old, same old. He had another injury, and he's in rehab, and I think he finally said enough's enough. Do you fault the team do you think they duped people deliberately?
No, I don't think so. Who goes through training camp if you're intent on retiring? I think that he agonized over that decision. I think he said he made it 10 days or 2 weeks before it came out, and he may have had second thoughts in the interim. But this is a guy who would have been the number one pick in the draft if he left school early and decided to come back for his senior year. We can't apply the normal standards to Andrew Luck in terms of the kind of decisions he makes. Very bright guy, went to Stanford and studied architectural design, which, as I understand it, is an extremely demanding and competitive course of study. You know, he's got other interests, and maybe the price he's paid in football seems excessive to him. I wonder, and I don't know this, but I remember when Boomer Esiason was playing for the Bengals, and he expressed serious concerns about becoming addicted to pain medication. And I wonder if the same kind of thought was going through Andrew Luck's mind. And so many athletes will take painkillers and maybe not be aware of the risk that poses to them on the field. And when you're not aware of how hurt you really are, again, that's speculation. I don't know Andrew Luck. I've been in some press conferences with him, but he doesn't know me at all. So I don't claim any inside information there. But I'm trying to put myself in his shoes and see what kind of considerations would have come into play, and I wonder if that might have been one of them.
All right, my friend. Good talking to you. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, and have a good week. We'll talk to you next Monday, or Tuesday, rather.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, Tim. I don't know, Monday, Tuesday. I don't know, whenever he wants to come on. Today's Tuesday. He normally comes on Monday. Right. He might come on Tuesday.
Right.
Are we doing a show on Labor Day, by the way?
We are.
Why?
Sports.
Yeah, but Labor Day.
Sports never sleeps.
It's supposed to be a day where you don't do labor on Labor Day.
Yeah, but there's also a bunch of stuff happening.
Yeah, like people are relaxing on Labor Day.
Well, I mean, they could be. Join a nice two topping extra large pizza and a 2 liter for just $14.
Yeah, but you don't have to do that on Labor Day. You can do that any day.
That's a good point. But if you were to do that any day, you could use the promo code RadioXL. Go to PapaJohns.com or use the Papa John's app. But there's also a bunch of other crap going on that's happening on Monday. I mean, that's kind of the reason why, unfortunately.
And now to bring it to you is our good friend who's got a lunch break from school, Billy O'Dell. Billy? Thank you, Bob. Reminder, all ESPN Louisville programming will be on the air on Monday, getting you ready for kickoff, Labor Day coverage, Labor Day coverage of Louisville football presented by Window World, simply the best, for less, and the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety reminding you to get a ride home. Well, how else could you get home? Just read the copy. Get a ride home even if you're a little impaired. What does that mean? Never mind, just read it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Be sure to join Mark Ennis
Ennis for the Coors Light pre- and post-game shows as we provide the latest coverage for UVell's home opener. Pre-game at 6 p.m. and post-game to follow immediately after the game's conclusion. Hear from head coach Scott's... What happened to the other guy? He's not here anymore. The new guy, head coach Scott Satterfield. What happened to that Petrino guy? He's not here anymore. Oh, we're not going to hear from him? Just read the copy. Head coach Scott Satterfield, locker room sound, and more. To the next one. Kentucky football is back, and the Wildcats start the 2019 season with Toledo. ESPN 680 and 105 and 7 tenths is your place for immediate reaction after the game. Catch the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance post-game show with James Strebel, and Jason Ency. Ency, do you know anybody's name? I don't know any of these guys. This Saturday, we'll hear from Coach Stoops' locker room. That's the same guy, right? Yeah, he's back. Coach Stoops' locker room sound and more. That's it for me. I'm Billy O'Dell. Ooh, he's doing a tagline now. Thank you, Billy. Colts football also on ESPN. It's your home for the NFL, including the Indianapolis Colts pregame, preseason game for Thursday. Colts and Bengals, 6 p.m. Right here on ESPN 680-105.7. Reds are in action Tuesday. That would be tonight at the Marlins. Tomorrow at the Marlins, and Thursday at the Marlins, 6:40 airtime for all of those. Take a break. Back with more ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's James Strebel. Join me Saturday for the first edition of this season's UK postgame show as Kentucky hosts Toledo. And it's all right here on ESPN 680-105.7. We're the first show in town that will take your calls after the game. You can hear live from Mark Stoops and their reports from Lexington. It's all Saturday afternoon around 3 o'clock on ESPN 680-105.7 and the ESPN Louisville app.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.